Let's pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is the 100th Psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, I know that you think this three-week stewardship campaign has lasted about 8 weeks, but it's only lasted three. We had the first one, then we had the next to the last one, and then we have the last one. And so that's where we are. We began as we moved all the banners up so you could see the bell choir. We started with faithful. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. That's Psalm 145:17. And then we went to thankful. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:15-16. And today, make a joyful noise to the Lord. When I was a kid, about 3 weeks ago, and I was going to camp, or we would go to camp meeting, usually we would get somewhere along the way, we would sing this song. It's a song that I hope you know. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? My heart. Where? I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart today. You know, we don't sing that song anymore. And I wonder why. Is it because we have better songs? Is it because there is no joy in our hearts today? Have we as the people of God lost our joyfulness? It's interesting. I found this out when I was remodeling a house years ago. It seemed like the more we were trying to do, the more things went wrong. Painters didn't show up who promised that they would. Carpenters didn't show up who promised that they would. Stuff would not come in when it was supposed to come in. And then I started praying for patience, and then everything really went bad. And I learned very well, it took me about a month or two, that you don't pray for patience, because that prayer will be answered. Things will happen in your life so that you have to have patience or you'll be unbelievably frustrated. I just about found that out this week when I was planning on preaching on being joyful. That's life, isn't it? In the midst of everything that we want to do, in the midst of our prayers of, Lord, I want to be your light in the world. Today is going to be great. And then you oversleep. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Something happens and somebody steals your joy. It happens. Things can happen in the midst of life and we just don't know what to do. And that's the beauty of the church. You've heard me say this. I've known it in my own life. There are days in our lives when we cannot sing the song, hymns of joy. Today has been a lot of joy in this service, hasn't it? If you think of all the songs we've sung, all the songs we've listened to, there's a lot of joy. And sometimes you just can't sing the songs. You need somebody else to sing them for you. And so we always need to sing when we can sing, because there are people who can't sing that want to sing. And have faith and know in our minds and our hearts that the day that we're not able to sing, they're going to sing for us too. So when people who walk in from the outside who need to know that there is joy and there is life and that Jesus loves them, when they walk in the door, no matter how many people who are in pain or suffering or grieving or mourning, they will need know the joy of salvation. We need to know that. It happens in life. It really does. The beauty of what we're talking about is this joy that is a gift from God. Paul talks about it, that this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. These gifts of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, graciousness, all those things. And he says, for which there is no law against any of them. Thank God. There's no reason for us not to be kind or loving or gracious or joyful in our lives. You will not get arrested for that. And so we have that. And regardless of how many bad days we have or what's going on in our life, there's a few things that we always know. That Jesus promised he would never leave us. He would never leave us as orphans. And Paul writes in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not war, not anything, anything. And no matter how bad a day that we have, that should not extinguish the joy that we have deep in our soul. Joy. Joyfulness. We've gone on this journey, and it's under the premise that we understand about giving. We begin our walk of being generous by understanding that God is faithful. That even no matter how bad a day we have, God is with us. And we worship a faithful God. And in the midst of that, God's faithfulness, we can be faithful too. And we can be faithful not only to God, but to each other. And our giving can be out of our faith. Years ago, in 1981... Let me start back before that. I was raised in church. I really was. If the doors of the church were open, we were walking around the corner to the church. My brother and I used to sit out on the front porch on the swing and long enough for my mom and dad to say, okay, you can walk around to the corner to the church. They would have us on nickel or dime for our Sunday school offering. We'd have our Bible and our Sunday school curriculum with us. We didn't read either one of those, but you get points if you did take them. And we would go. And we would go to church. And we'd go back at Sunday night. We did that every week. We'd go to Wednesday night supper. And when we got old enough to be in the children's choir, we were in the children's choir. And when we got old enough to be in the youth choir, we were in the youth choir. We were in MYF. We were in everything, junior high MYF and senior high MYF. Then I went to college and I was in the far country for a while. Came back home and I was in church. And I was just, church is good. All my friends are here. Everything that I want to do revolves around these people. And then April the 15th, 1981 happens when my dad died in his sleep. I talked to him on the phone. The anniversary was the next day. Dad, would you take June some flowers tomorrow for our anniversary? Yeah, love you. 6 hours later, he's dead. And I drive home I was working in Tennessee, drive home. And when I get there, you'll not believe who is there. The church. The church surrounded us. The faithful people of God showed up. 8 weeks later, my brother dies in a car wreck and burns to death. And who shows back up? Well, they never had stopped showing up. They just showed up in greater numbers. And when we couldn't walk, the church was there. They were faithful to their promises that they made when they joined the church, when they made when they asked Jesus to come in their heart, and they did, and they were the hands and feet of Jesus in our life. And the thing that had happened to me was I became thankful. Unbelievably grateful for what a church can do that nobody else can do. When the church is a church, it's an unbelievable, powerful thing. Then in the fall of 1981, my mother, who sang in the choir, she sang Holy City. This is a little fun fact. She sang Holy City every Palm Sunday for 14 straight years in our church. It's just, that's what she would do. And people, when they hear the Holy City, they will email me. I mean, still. But my mother quit singing solos, quit doing everything. And in October, we had Lady Sunday. And Dr. Tom Averett, who was a local general practitioner in town, he was friends of our family, he asked my mother if she would sing in church. And this is what she said. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, and then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and made me whole. The church did that. The church is the one who brought the joy of Jesus back in my mother's life. Joyful. That's what we're called to be and to do, is to be joyful in our giving. You see, I believe that we give faithfully. It's not out of duty, but we give because of the faithfulness of God. And then we can give thankfully because we're thankful for how we see God at work in our own lives and the lives of the people around us. And we are grateful for that, and we give. But it's something different about giving joyfully. And this is what I think it is. People who give joyfully, they don't see the dollars going in the basket or seeing the thing when you hit send that I'm giving online or whatever it is. They see the possibility of the results. That in their mind and in their heart, they see lives being changed. They see the kingdom of God breaking into the lives of people. And that brings joy to them. That the kingdom of God and the love of God is making its way into people who need it. These are some things that you don't, I don't know if you know it or not. I'm going to tell you some things. I'll start on this end of the building, down there. About 4 years ago, I think it is, even they didn't meet during COVID, but we have the Little Flock Church, Indian congregation, that meets every Sunday. If you want to hear some interesting music, you can show up here about 2:00 when the band's practicing. You can come in my office and hear it in the fellowship hall. But it doesn't sound quite like Alan and Sherry and Luke, but what's interesting is that this congregation has moved from about 20 families to about 40 families. And the reason they are here, they're called Little Flock, is because they are the product of a church in India. When they were talking to us, they said that the very conservative Indian government, they don't mind if a church exists, but you cannot evangelize. And so this church in India decided they would plant churches in America where so many of their Indian families were moving. And they've planted something like 25 churches in America. And we have one of them every Sunday. I get the pleasure of every day of the week that I'm here, during the school year, I get to do carpool ministry at the preschool. You would be surprised at the number of people and that I have had the opportunity to be touched by and to touch over my 8.5 years of being here. It is an unbelievably great ministry of this church. It truly is. And it'd be surprised at the number of times that either Michelle or Allison would come to me and have said, so-and-so needs prayer, or somebody needs something. And we have been able to help them in miraculous ways. When you think of the missions and that we do really worldwide, Greg Scherer has already signed us up for next year to pack 20,000 more meals for Rise Against Hunger during Lent to go wherever the need is all over the world. And I don't know how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of meals we pack now, but it's unbelievable. The Backpack Buddies that we do for those schools and for the children that who have food insecurities. Unbelievable. Great work every week. And then Brenda's got, she has a group that's also packing food out of our Backpack Buddy storeroom too. The stuff we do, we have Path to Shine, where we have children coming here every Thursday afternoon, us along with St. Patrick's Episcopal Church, where we have these, I think it's 12 kids that come each week. And we see God at work. It's unbelievable to see and hear what's going on in the children's department, when you see what's happening in the youth department. It's amazing what God is doing. Youth next month are going off to Rooted at Camp Glisten. It's unbelievable what will happen there, and we ask y'all to continue to pray. But everywhere we can turn, there's God is at work in the midst of all of us. And I believe that a joyful giver can see and proclaims and praises God for what's going to happen because of what they've done and their faithfulness and their thankfulness in the giving in a systematic way. It changes lives. It truly does. And everything that we do is a powerful thing to do. You see, because in all that we do, we need to still have joy. I was thinking about Luke 15. Y'all know Luke 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It has the same parable told three different ways. It's about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son or the prodigal son. I was thinking about that today, about that whole thing. And the man had two sons, and the younger one told his dad, I would like my portion of the inheritance, and I'm ready to go. Now, if that was me, I would have told him, you can leave, but you're not getting your inheritance. In fact, when you leave, you're not going to get an inheritance. You might not ever get an inheritance. Because what he was really saying to his dad was, I wish you were dead. Wasn't he? He said, I wish you were dead. You're dead to me. But his dad gave him his portion of the inheritance anyway, and he goes away. And he squanders it away until he has nothing. And we're going to assume that this is a good Jewish family. But in the process of having nothing, he ends up helping a pig farmer, which is not good if you're Jewish. And then he starts wishing he could eat the pods that are being fed to the pigs. And then he decided his dad's servants have it better than him, and he wanted to go home. And what he finds is that his dad was looking out the window. And while his son is still a long way away, runs toward him and hugs him. Tells the servant to kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party because this one who was dead is now alive. And then the older brother is angry. See, I believe that those who have a joyful heart and give joyfully celebrate with those in heaven when the lost are found, when those who are lost are brought back into the fold. And my fear is, I don't want to be the older brother. Do you? I want to be joyful in my giving, faithful in my giving, and thankful in my giving. Because I think that's what the Lord requires of us. May we all hear, and may we all do what the Lord requires. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for our time today. We thank you for those who give joyfully, thankfully, and faithfully. And we just pray that the things we do and the way that we do them bring glory to you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
As you're able, please stand. Oh.
The rail for prayer. And we want, if you have got your, if you want to use the Nest and Regiving card, you can bring that. If you would like one, Jan will be glad to give you one. If you've given via Realm or whatever, you can do that as well. And we know that you, but we'd like for you to come, if as you feel led, to come to the altar, to the chancel and pray, not only for the church, but for each of us. And just open it up, because I know that there are people who would like to spend some time at the chancel in prayer.